brothers want to bring it up. Y'all help me, because I don't remember the words. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. While heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home here in the power of Christ. Let's sing that last verse once again. That's my favorite verse. Oh, no. Guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home here in the power of Christ. I stand. No power of hell, no power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Can you say that tonight? Amen. No matter what's happening in our lives. Amen. If he sends us to hell like Brother Wade said, can you still say, I love you, Lord? You're worthy. You're still just. Amen. Praise God. Who's the lucky one? Jonas, can you come help us, please?
anything for what you've done for everybody, and let us have a good church service today, and bless the tithes and offering in Jesus Christ's name, and all of the prayer requests in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Sister Anna, if you want to come.
God bless you. I'm going to try a song in Swahili this time. But you should know the song because it's the same hymn in English. How sweet the name of Jesus. Jina lake Yesu tamu tukilisikia hutupoza tena hamu hutuondolea roho iliyo umia kwalo hutibika chakula njani pia raha tukichoka raha tukichoka raha tukichoka jina hili ni msingi ngao ng'ombe mwamba kwa hili napata ungi kwangu ni akiba kwangu ni akiba kwangu ni akiba Yesu mchunga rafiki mwalimu kuhani mwanzo mwisho njia haki uzima kifoni, uzima kifoni, uzima kifoni. Moyo wangu hauwezi kukusifu kweli ila sifa zangu hizi Bwana zikubali Bwana zikubali Bwana zikubali na utaponiita kuja kwako Bwana huko kwako sitaacha kukusifu sana kukusifu sana kukusifu sana.
Is the Lord Jesus. The most important thing there is that God understood. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Anna. Amen. Let's enter our field, ready for the word. Amen. Let's sing the song, Something Keeps Holding Me. Brother Wade can come out on this song. Let's start with the chorus. Key of F. Let's. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. The trial of this world. The trial of this world was getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. And I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But that word keeps holding you. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully. God in me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Satan laid before me. Oh, Satan laid before me His temptation of His desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but I have found inside the revelation. Strength I need to keep me in His grace.
Sing it to me.
Oh, 'cause something keeps holding me.
Yeah.
Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome.
Something keeps holding me. It's not me hanging on. It's Him hanging on to me. Amen. Remember the old, used to see it on the walls a lot of times. It was one set of footprints down the beach. And the question was, said, Lord, why did you leave me in the time of my great need? And he said, they said, it's only one set of footprints. He said, well, I was carrying you. Yep. I was carrying you at that time, son, daughter. I was the one that was doing the work. So if we'll just let go and let God, let Him do the work, then we'll be in a lot better shape. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you back with us. Remember the ones that are still traveling, the ones that are sick. Brother Joe said Sister Gwen had COVID. So he had just got over it. And she has it now, so we're just going to pray. She's on the backside of it, I think, so everything should be fine. So just keep them in your prayers. The devil wants to destroy us, but God says, nope, not till I get done with you. Not till I'm finished with you. You're not going to go any quicker than you supposed to. Amen. You're going to go when God's finished with you. And we want to go when God's finished with us. Amen? Don't want to hang around, because remember what happened to Hezekiah. God gave him 15 more years, and he kind of messed up a little bit. Amen? Should have went on when God said it's time for you to leave. So let's remember now, by way of announcement real quick, we'll have communion and foot washing in just a little while. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. On the 10th, there'll be a prayer service here at the church at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary. There won't be anything but prayer. And then just when you get finished, you get up and leave. On the 11th will be a household shower. You should have it somewhere on the seat there. Zach and Lily needs for the household shower, Amazon, Target, Walmart, Bed Bath & Beyond, Macy's, Home Goods, Hobby Lobby, IKEA, and they must be going to hike some mountains at REI, because that's what that is. That's all outside stuff. So they're still young. They can do that. We can just watch with the pictures. Amen? Amen. That's right. So remember that. Just get them a gift card, and we'll have a little party for them next week after second service. All right. Also remember the 17th will be a youth service. Brother Ronnie Long will be here. That'll be at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And then we'll have a wedding, and that should be somewhere around there where you're sitting. The wedding for Zach and Lily will be November the 6th. That'll be on a Sunday. We'll only have one service, and then we'll go over there at 4 o'clock for the wedding. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for all the prayers and different things that we're going through, and we appreciate all prayers, and we pray for you every day. Every day we try to, can't mention y'all by names, but sure we try to. That was one thing Brother Colley always amazed me. Not that Brother Colley couldn't remember, but it amazed me. There'd be 15 prayer requests. Now, if you give me 15 prayer requests, I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for bringing these requests, and I pray that you'll administer to each one of them. And I'm pretty much, I can't. Brother Colley had named every one of them, what it was. Can you still do that? Probably not. Doubt it. He says, doubt it. But when I first started coming back to church, it was just a mystery to me that he could remember all 15 or 20 prayer requests, and he could name them every one. And I appreciate that. Amen. It's lovely to have your name called. Amen. Especially a Christian man call your name, a Christian sister call your name. So let's turn in our Bibles. Let's get to 1 John, but let me read this quote right here in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. We were talking this morning about heavenly places. Oh, how I wish I had time. Here, I've got it marked right here in my Bible about heavenly places. What is heavenly places? Heavenly places, just for a moment, is the believer's position in Christ. Where the believer stands in Christ in heavenly places. So let's read Ephesians 2, verse 6. And he hath raised us up. All right, now look. Where are we going? We're going up the statue of perfect man. So he has raised us up. The believer's position, there's a position we come to in here, because we're going to look later on that inside even all this, inside of all this, there's position that you come to. Okay? And we know it's coming to adoption, but we got to come to a place to where we write the check. We write the check. Amen? Where the believer stands in Christ. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for the day that you give us. We appreciate the group of people that you've assembled here today, Lord, that we can speak to. Father, they're the cream of the crop. The greatest people that ever stood on the face of the earth. My many people would love to maybe meet a sports star or a movie star or a race car driver or something. It would be really important for them to get their picture taken with them or get a signed autograph of a baseball or something like that. But Lord, to stand in the presence of your children, to stand in the presence of the cream of the crop, the Hall of Famers, this is it right here. This is the one that's going to make it. And Father, I pray that you'd help us a little bit more today to gather ourselves together and be a little more attentive to you and be, Lord, that we can climb up this statue of a perfect man together. not leave anyone behind, but reach back and grab somebody, not step over them and try to get, as the world would say, that they would burn bridges. Let's not burn bridges. Let's pull people across and bring them with us, Lord. We pray that you just bless us now and take care of us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless the ones that are sick and the ones that are traveling back and forth, Lord. Many families are gone today. We pray that you'd be with them as they come back home. And tomorrow also with Labor Day coming up, we pray that you just keep us all safe on the highways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe that. I had rather sit with you guys. Sisters and brothers than to sit with any sports star. And I like sports and I enjoy it. That's okay if you enjoy it to a degree. You know, we had a Archie Moore, the boxer, was here in the church for a little while. Brother D. Moore's daddy, and daddy got an autographed $50 bill. Not wanting a dollar, it's a $50 bill. So he got an autograph, but you know, that's great. But you know what? I'd rather be sitting with some of you talking about you instead of talking about what he did 40 years ago in a fight or what somebody did, you know, 30 years ago. There's a man in our community. His name's Tyrus Brown. Well, he was named after Tyrus Cobb, Ty Cobb, which was probably one of the greatest baseball players in the 20s and 30s. Well, you know, he's a nice guy to sit down and talk to because he's named after him and actually kin to him. So it was nice, and he's in his 70s or close to 80, so he kind of remembered Ty Cobb. Well, I like to sit and listen to that, but you know what? If one of y'all walked in the room, my attention would go to you. Because that's the word of God coming. Communion. As we're talking today, communion. We're bringing together, sitting in heavenly places. I'd rather talk about something heavenly than talk about something earthly. Had y'all know it? Amen. I'd rather talk about something heavenly than something that's down here. It's okay to talk about stuff down here. You understand? We're human beings. But if there's a choice that we have, we should take the choice, like the Bible says, with the Lord's despised few. I'm following Jesus and I'm going through. So let's read John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is the Son of Man when we get to it. That's what we're trying to build. Because look, this stature of a perfect man is going to be manifested through your human flesh. The stinking human flesh and the stinking thinking that your mom and daddy brought here, contrary to God. God's going to use that same flesh to manifest these virtues. The only way for it to get out is to come through your flesh. Amen? Amen? Everybody all right with that? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated in the Lord as a blessing to the reading of the Word. But think about that. When you shake hands with somebody, you're shaking hands with the flesh of God. Amen. Everybody all right with that? Doesn't matter. We're shaking hands with the flesh of God. So why would we want to, when we get up here to the brotherly kindness, why would we want to belittle people all the time? Why would we want to shun people all the time? And we always, you know as well as I do, you look at each other, and I think I said something to Sister Barbara the other day. I said, you didn't shake my hand. Well, I mean, you know, we're kidding when we say that, but she didn't shake my hand. But you see what I mean? You try to shake everybody's hand, and you try to be where you don't shun people. But it ain't gonna always be that way. But we really try to get around and make sure that everybody gets greeted and everybody. That's why some of you, if we have visitors, you need to get yourself out there because I can't get out there too quick. But you can get yourself out there and shake their hand and tell them God bless you and good to have you here. Amen. Listen, I we'll talk about something not today, but later on. But we need it. We talk about doing stuff overseas and all, which is wonderful and great, and I appreciate it, and I believe we should. But what Brother Brown say, the worst thing that needs to be evangelized? Your community. Your neighbor. Your wayward, just like we were talking about going to Ohio and really being an impression Brother Christian's mom and dad, and on Sister Tabitha's mom and dad. And to me, that was worth it because they're still closer relationship. Even Brother Isaac, I know he won't mind me saying that, even him and Sister Tabitha are all having a better relationship because they saw the love of God instead of somebody wanting to kick them in the teeth all the time. Amen. This is not a kick in the teeth gospel. We can do that from the pulpit for a little while. But you do it with what? You do it with softness, and you try to do it with not so much beating the people up. But where's our outreach? We talk about an outreach. Where's our outreach? Oh, it's just us four, no more. Well, you know what? If somebody hadn't said something to you, you might have still been out there. Right. Amen? Right. So let's shake our neighbor's hand and say, God bless you, and we appreciate you. Like I said, y'all know who lives beside me. I've got two gay guys lives beside me. And I just didn't sit down and talk to them as to talk to anybody, as far as worldly people, not y'all. But why not say, God bless you, come to church? What would you do if two gay guys walked into this church? Huh? No, you'd all go be going. Please do. Thank you. That's what we should do. We should show what? I said the virtue of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the temperance of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians says, look, that every one of you should know how to possess. When we get finished with this, we should know how to possess our vessel. And we got a lot of work to do. All of us have work to do. But we all want to pull together and get it done, right? We want to get this thing done to where we can have an Ephesian church, a powerful church. 12 people in the church of Ephesus, Brother Bram said, a powerful church. Why? They all had the Holy Ghost, and they all were mature Christians, he said. And then Brother Paul could come up and preach to them, and he could preach about predestination. He could preach about things that he couldn't preach to the Corinthians, right? Corinthians, he was always correcting them about something, first one thing and another, because they just kept a bunch of heathens coming in. But now they were coming into the gospel. So Paul didn't kick them out. He just had to smack them a little bit more than he did the Ephesians. But the Ephesian church is what we're trying to get to, where that we're mature and we know what we're talking about, the Word of God. Amen? I hope that's your goal. Your goal, I don't think, is to get a star for being in church every Sunday. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. I keep reading this because we're going to get into some things that maybe is going to be contrary to the way you grew up. These virtues are totally contrary to the way you grew up. Everybody with me? So it's going to take a renewing of your mind. It's going to take you to listen. How many people... You listen to a sermon, especially you listen to Brother Branham, and you listen to a tape, and you go, man, that guy can tell a story. Right. He could tell a story, and you could be right. You would be. He'd be like he'd have you right in the middle of that story. And he could tell that so simple, but it was so profound. That was a prophet talking to us, breaking it down for us. Because, look, he had went back into the back part of God's mind. He had went and got something, but praise God, he didn't lock it back up. He opened it so we could get in it. So it was a renewing of our mind through his mind. That you may what? Prove. So you're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? It's his word. It's for his word to be made manifest in a group of people. That's the sense. You can talk about vials, plagues, trumpets. You can put Daniel 70 weeks together. You can do all these things. But it comes down to one thing, and that's manifest in the Word of God. Manifest in Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. 2 Peter 1. We read part of this, but we're going to read this now, and then we'll let Brother Branham explain it in a minute. Now, Peter is talking. He's a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith. So whatever the Holy Ghost that Peter had, you and I are supposed to have. Amen. All right. But now what Peter is talking to us now, he's talking to us with the Holy Ghost with the virtues. Come on, he had the virtues to be able to tell you what to do. He had these virtues because remember, we're supposed to come back to the faith of the fathers. Peter was one of the fathers. All right, Brother Brown was supposed to what? Turn us back to that, to this right here, and be able to preach in 1962 or whenever it was, to preach the stature of a perfect man, and him be standing in that stature and being able to, and I'll read you a quote in a couple of weeks maybe where he said, Lord, build me up that I may teach apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists so that we can all come to the unity of the faith, not just one or two people. All right? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We're going to get a life lesson. We're going to get a life lesson through this. It's going to be life and what? Godliness. What I tell you about getting the Holy Ghost, if you get the Holy Ghost and you get these virtues working in your life, you're not going to quit having problems, but you're sure going to know how to deal with them. You're sure going to know how to not, you know, what I always tell June when I get a little bit beside myself, I go over in the corner and stick my thumb in my mouth and get in the fetal position and act like a kid. All right? Well, we don't want to be doing that. We won't want to be babies. We want to grow up. All right? When God, and I'll read you a quote here in just a few minutes where we'll talk about Brother Brown. He says, when God says no, what are you going to do? In other words, when God says, what are you going to do? If you're a mature Christian, you'll know that's the best yes you ever got. Absolutely. But as a baby, you're still going to go, what? Why? Why? Kids? Why? Why? Why, Daddy? Why don't I have, why? And with a lot of kids, I said so will work, but there's a lot of times, Brother John, that I said so don't matter. You got to explain to them why you're going to do that. All right? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers. Listen, I don't want to be a partaker of my old nature. Do you? I mean, think with me today. Do you want to be a part of your old nature? Do you want that old nature to rise back up and you start doing the things you used to do? Oh, my heavenly, no, I do not. But I want this right here. That you might be partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then there's where we began several months ago with justification, sanctification, on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's the faith down at the bottom of the pyramid, and I'll read you some quotes. And I know that you and I do not have to be told that you got to have the new birth first. All right? Because some people in the message think you got to get all the way up there till you get the Holy Ghost where it says Holy Spirit. Now, there's no way you can get the faith of God without having God inside of you. Because you're contrary to God until you're born again. All right? So seeing that you purified your souls and obeying the truth. So we've come to a base. We've got our foundation. Our foundation is that we're born again. Or that we're not. And let's start right here. At justification, and let's go to sanctification, let's go to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all right? Because look, if these things are required, God's made a way for you to get there. But you got to go that way. You can't go around. You got to go right exactly the way he said, and thank God for sending a prophet that told us exactly how to do it. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now Paul's telling us, he says, all right, come on, we got to go. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. See, once you get... And I know some of you got baptized over again, which is fine. That's okay. I'll baptize you as many times as you need to be baptized. Anybody's windows down? I hope not. You're going to get a car wash on the inside. So, Anderson's heading down. I just saw him run out and go down. So it happens to other people too. It happens. That's just the way it goes. So the doctrine of baptism. Listen, if you want to be baptized, that's fine. But there's a time when you got to be settled. There's a time when you got to say, this is it. You got a time when you say, look, this, I'm done. I've done this enough times. I think some people use water baptism as something to, you know, like, well, I'm going to get washed of everything and then I'll start over. Well, that's fine. To a degree. But it's a soul washing, not a flesh washing. All right? It's not a flesh. It's not just, you know, you go down a wet center, you go down a dry center, come up a wet center. No, the Bible says repent. All right? So we got to repent first. But now that we know that, let's go on to something else of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands. Listen, we all know how to be baptized. Amen? We know it's not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then we don't have to preach sermons on them. Now, listen, if there's new people come in, absolutely we need to. But to be a mature Christian, we can't stay on that. That's what Paul's saying. Let's quit staying right here. Let's continue and go on a little bit higher. Let's be like the Ephesian church. When I say predestination, that's not a bad word. Not to the Ephesians, but now when Brother Brown said it's a bad word to use in a regular congregation. Because he's got some Corinthians sitting in his congregation. And some Ephesians that really wouldn't know what he's talking about. But he's got some Corinthians in there, some babies, that don't know what predestination is. Because if it's taught, as you say, predestined or predetermined destiny, then you don't have no choice. But by foreknowledge, then you put it right. Amen. So of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, we know that hell's not eternal. So we don't have to preach on hell not being eternal. All right? We know the resurrection of the dead that we were talking about last night. You're going to have a first resurrection now here with the dead saints. Rest of the people are going to be dead until the second resurrection, which is after the 1,000 years is over with. So we don't have to preach. We can have Bible study on it, yeah, but we don't have to sit here every sermon and preach it because you know what? It's not going to get boring, but it's going to be like, if you're a real child of God, you'll be going, come on, give me some more. I know that's right. Give me some more. I know there's some more to get, so give me some more. Same thing with this tabernacle. Same way with the Old Testament. Listen. The Old Testament was a type. It spoke of what was coming. That spoke of Jesus Christ. That ark and the different, that spoke of Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus Christ was here, he spoke of you. Praise God. He spoke of me and you. That's who he came for. He came to show us how to live. And he said, I'll come back and go inside of you and I'll help you. So there's the ark. That's Jesus Christ. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Let's continue on. Now we know, and I like what Sister Christine said. We were talking this morning after, between services. You see that the two tables of stone. Then you see that little basket of manna. Everybody with me? Now, for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. That was more than 40. That couldn't have been no more than 40 pieces in there. So I'm like her. I believe it just multiplied itself as they went in there and started eating it. Then he did it when he was on earth. He did it when he was on earth. He multiplied the bread when he was on earth. We might as well say he multiplied it spiritually right there to show that he was going to multiply it naturally, and to show that you and I, like Brother Brown said, he said that's the type of the Holy Ghost. So you're not going to run out of it. He's going to keep getting more. Because the manna was type of the Holy Ghost. And then that rod, that stick, is me and you. But we know Jesus Christ had to come into humanity first to die for us. Not first human being, but first come into humanity before he could die for us. He couldn't die as the Son of God. He couldn't die as the eternal God, as the Jehovah. He had to come down and come into human flesh. And I was, as I said last Sunday, as soon as he decided that was what he's going to do, when he come through that matrix or when he come through that womb, he was a human. When that soul went inside of him, it couldn't migrate over here somewhere else and do like it used to do. It would appear and disappear. It stayed in that body. It stayed in that body so he could what? Be our brother, but yet be God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything was inside of him. Amen? But this thing, the ark, symbolizes the Son of Man, because it's the human flesh part of God. It's what that ark was a symbol of. And we know that it was overlaid, which speaks of deity. I'll get through this pretty quick. You cover it and overlay it with gold. That's deity over the wood. Christ over the church, inside and out, deity overlaid. Then he talks about the law, speaking of judgment, the two tables of stone, that was the law. But between the law and the congregation, there was something for deity. Stood in its place, the type of Christ. Between the wrath of God and the judgment in hell. Listen, even in the Old Testament, God allowed that blood of the animal to hide or cover sin until he could come in human flesh. Right? Amen? Sprinkle the blood. So Christ, standing in the way with an atonement made to save us from our sins and to heal us from our sickness, deity stands in the way between judgment. And then we looked at Aaron's rod. Everything in it was restored again. That's what we're looking for, folks. We're not looking for just a new birth. But that's the most important thing, because it puts you in line. Amen? The new birth puts you in line to get these virtues. The new birth puts you in the body, heirs and joint heirs. But what are you going to know if you don't have a will that tells you, well, just show up, Brother John, and we'll give you something? No. When you go, there's usually a will that says, this one gets this, that one gets this, and I'm going to give this to this, and I'm going to give this to charity. It's all, and that's what this right here was wrote. 66 books of the Bible was the will that was written. This is what you're going to get. Amen. Amen? And that's why you can see yourself in there. And that's the family. You're talking about family Bible. That is the family Bible. That's me and you. That's our family. Like I said before, somebody I'd love to talk to. Everything was restored. That's the way a sinner is when he goes under the Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit. The veil drops behind him. Have you ever really been there? Ask yourself that question. Have you ever really been behind the veil? Have you ever really been shut in with God in a secret place, as the song says? Have you ever had that experience, as I say, Brother Keith Reed says, that experience? Have you ever had that experience with God? You ask yourself that question. The veil drops behind you. What? You're sealed. You're sealed. When that veil drops, you're sealed until the day of your redemption. But what you got to do is remember, you got to come out of that veil and go live it. That's the hard part. Everything that you ought to have been, a son of God blooms out in him again. Then we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to come out of the Holy of Holies. We got born again, right? A born again experience is the Holy of Holies, right? We're going to come out of that, though, like the priest came out and declare that their sins were forgiven in Israel for another year. We're going to declare to the world that my sins have been forgiven forever. Not just for a year. That was a substitute. That was a type. But when we walk out and we get free, always somebody get free. We get free and have freedom, and we can tell the world. Fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. That's what we need to get in the third step. Get over into the Shekinah glory, where that little sacred light was hanging over the mercy seat. And Brother Brown tells us again, we're a stick of some kind, and you were taken off the branch of humanity, which was God created Son in the beginning. Listen, everybody could partake of the tree of life if they wanted to. Amen? Everybody can. We got to come boldly to the throne of grace. We got to come boldly to that tree and eat off of that tree. All right? Everybody with me? But some will and some won't. Some will, like I said, some will despise the cross. Some will come to it. And some will take up their cross. I hope you get that in your mind. And I want you to know, listen, we can read that thing called Pilgrim's Progress. Everybody read that? You may, and you get involved in that journey of that person. You get involved, right? And you know the little things that happens in that story. Well, what about you? What about you? What about your journey? What about your story? What about your moving through this way and moving through that way and God moving you over this way and showing up over here? And that's why you're written epistles, folks. You're the book. You're the book that's right. You're writing it yourself. You're writing your own script. Good or bad. Amen. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God, but by that in creation, you were created to be a son of God. So everyone has a chance to be a son and daughter of God. We know that. You may bounce around and be respected and honored out here in the courts, but if you ever get into that glorious place and hide away with God, you'll yield what you're supposed to do. Listen, folks, there's going to be, like I said Wednesday night, there's going to be billions that deny the cross. Billions. There's going to be probably hundreds of millions that come to the cross. But there's only going to be a few million that take up the cross. Amen? So it gets narrower. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller. You know why? It's the narrow way. And few there be that find it. Notice every year the high priest entered into that place. The congregation followed him up. When he went into this great place, the veil dropped. The inner court, the Holy of Holies. No one dared go in after him. He was alone with God. What a beautiful picture it is today of a consecrated life who once enters into Christ, into with Christ, dead to the things of the world, hid away with God, and the veil drops down around and all the world's shut off. We ought to do that here. And I know it's humanly impossible. I'm just going to be honest. It's humanly impossible to just totally shut everything off. Something's going to pop up in your head. You got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. We got to do this in the afternoon. The cows need to be fed. You know, that cat that's got diarrhea has got to go to the doctor. I told him the story behind that. It's why I say it all the time, because I had a high school teacher that he would be out a good bit. And when he would be out, he'd come back in. And we'd say, oh, where you been? You know, so-and-so. I'm going to call name. Where you been? He said, my cat had diarrhea. So, I mean, that's all he said. He could have been off, you know, somewhere else. He said, my cat had diarrhea. So I took a day off. Just another excuse. That's what he's saying. Just another excuse, just like I said this morning. Then Christianity and religion becomes a pleasure to every believer. I want us to, in this church, to let that be a goal of ours. That when we go up that statue, as we go up that statue of perfect man, all of us harness together, pull it, getting up that statue of perfect man, that becomes a pleasure. A pleasure to be here. Amen? A pleasure to come here. To every believer. Today, people just have enough religion to make them miserable. Now, like I said this morning, I've seen those people. Have you not? Just makes them miserable. Well, they ain't a full-blooded Christian. There he might be in their journey, but they ain't got the kind of glory yet, because when you meet God and you know that fire's went inside of you, you got to be a different person. Know that you ought to do this. They're trying to escape hell. Well, if that's the way I felt about it, brother, I don't know what I'd do. Now, well, let's look at this full thing just for a second, and then we'll get started where we left off this morning. We know we've got to be born again before we can come into this pyramid or this teaching of the virtues. Is everybody with me? I've been over this for 2 months, so y'all understand that. And this is the way it looks, just like that. But now we covered it one time, a long time ago. What we're doing now, though, is we're doing what I said. We've come out. We went into the outer court, justification. Inner court, sanctification. We went into the Holy of Holies. We've got the new birth. We met God. Now what we're doing is we're coming back out and we're going to manifest what we met in there. Amen. Right. So we're going to come out and get back into that outer court again. Right. Where it's not the justification that he chops off your past sins, it's where you're going to realize that the real you didn't do that. Right. Everybody with me? A little higher up, a little higher understanding of justification. And then also as we continue on up, now what's sanctification? Cleaned and set aside for service. Now the baby form sanctification is all those unclean demons got driven out of your soul, but not out of your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. I wished it was, but God left that. God left that so Satan can still bombard you because you're living in this human world. He left that there for what? For you to overcome with. You don't overcome with this. You overcome. You've already overcome in your soul. You're already sitting in heavenly places. Like we said last night, if you're born again today, your soul is in another dimension. Because it's eternal. It's in another place. Not in another place. You understand what I mean. But inside of you, it's in a different area, a different world. Yes. Heavenly places. I just read you the Bible. That's the position you have. But now still, your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination is where this virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness has got to be let out of. Yes. Everybody with me? Yes. Okay. I want to make it simple to where we understand why we have to have these virtues. It's because it's a requirement for us to get all the way up to that headstone or the Son of Man dispensation, which that's what we're in now. We just got to catch up to it. Everybody with me? We got. Brother Colley said amen. Now listen, if a man that's been in this message for 50 years says amen and knows he needs to grow up a little bit more, everybody in this building ought to say amen. Right? That's honesty, though. Same with all of us. We need to get to a place to where God can use us more. I'd like for God to use me more. Listen, the devil used me long enough. The devil, did he lead? Oh, he didn't, y'all. Oh, maybe only Sister Alicia and me. That's the only two people. Well, Brother Boyd, I think he raised his hand. Well, praise God, there's three of us that, anywho. We were the only three honest people in the building. Right? Because I live long enough for him. I want to do something for God. And the only way to do it is to have what? The virtue of God. The temperance of God. Listen, I had the temperance of the devil long enough, Boyd, brother. Long enough. I had enough of that. Patience. Godliness, brotherly kindness. We'll get to it all. But see, I've got it written out there to the side, or Brother Bob did this for me wonderfully, where it says sanctification. Now look, that's not driving the unclean spirit out of your soul. That's done. Finished. Sealed. God's in there. Can't get in. Actually, God can't get out. He said. He said he's going to come and be in you. Not in you and out of you. He's going to be in you. But that second realm, or that spirit realm, is where God left that for us to overcome. Everybody with me? We've already overcome in the soul. Because listen, prove it, Brother Wade. All right, you pass away today and you're born again. Your soul goes into another dimension. Immediately goes into the sixth dimension. Everything else stays out here. The body and all stays here. So then, you still, it didn't that you didn't acquire it as you went to get into that other dimension. You got it already. And it carries you into it, carries your soul, your very being into that other dimension. And praise God that when we come back here and pick up, if we have to pass away, we come back here and pick up our human body, that all the Bible says the former things will pass away. Behold, all things have become new. You won't remember. Listen, the things that bothered you today, they're not going to bother you. They're not. The former things will pass away. Behold, all things have become new. You won't be thinking about all the fusses you had with your wife or your husband. The trivial, I was going to say stupid, but your trivial things that you get mad at each other about, and you're like, man. How many of y'all, as you get older, things don't bother you as much? Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you hadn't raised your hand, and I know why. Because it does. Stuff don't bother me no more. It don't bother me no more than it. But boy, I used to stay up at night, and it just gnawed me. Mm-mm, not anymore, babe. Sleep is much better. But that, to me, though, that sanctification, that's getting that unclean. Now, it's not saying you're unclean. But the spirits that bother you are unclean, which what? They influence you. Boy, I like that. That's new. That's fresh. I'm glad I got that one. It's not you. It's the what's influencing you. Now, whether you say, all right, come on in. I'll entertain that. Or you can say, nope, you need to stay out there. You need to stay out here. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. So there's sanctification. The unclean spirit going out. And staying out. We want them to stay out. The problem is, until we get to a real good case of being adopted son and daughter of God, we open the door and let him back in. Sorry, we do. But I want us to realize that we can come to a place that we can be like Jesus, that we can walk through a crowd and somebody say, that's a Christian. And I want to just touch a piece of his cloth, of his garment, and I know I'll be made whole. Peter and them walking down the road, and people in their shadow. Am I in the scripture? People in their shadow were healed. Wasn't it they turned around Brother Luis and preached a sermon to him and everybody started screaming and shaking and praising God? Walking down the road and people just walk by and go, whoop, whoop. Blinded eyes open. Cancer being done away with. Just by somebody walking by. That's the way I want to be. I want to be able to influence the world and they never even know I was there. That's what I want. Right, Brother John? I want to influence the world and not have to get this great big star. Listen, we're going to get our stars. We're going to get our crowns. It's going to be in another dimension. And they'll be eternal. They'll not be something temporal. But I want somebody to have an influence. Like Brother Ryan was talking about mom and dad having an influence on his marriage. You notice he didn't say some of y'all. I wasn't looking at y'all. Sue, you can smack him if you want to. See what I mean about that? See? I know. But that's a virtue. That strength was drawn from what? Them going, hey, we're better than the rest of y'all. No, it's just living a life. Living a life, living the right kind of life, living the best virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness, brotherly kindness, that you know how to live. And that's sanctification. Y'all hold hands now. I'll get you when I get home. I'm glad we can. Some people you can do that too. But that's sanctification. That's the unclean spirit. The little things, the little demons now, that's going to be cast out. Right? As we go up this statue of perfect man, we're going to try, all of us, to have more virtue. That's what I said when I mentioned it just a few minutes ago, if you caught what I said. I'd rather be around y'all than to be around somebody in the world. Why? I draw strength. I draw virtue from you. Everything, I mean, listen, when me and Danny's not here today, when me and Brother Danny, is he okay? He's sick? Okay. But when me and Brother Danny is together, even when we start talking about hunting and he likes guns and I like guns and we talk about that, it's a kindred spirit that comes together. We might not say the word name Jesus, but there's a kindred spirit there that you can stand there and talk to somebody and feel comfortable with. I want people to feel comfortable around me, around you. Everybody feel comfortable. Not when you walk up to them like, man, I don't know if I should, you know, get over in the corner and do, you know, the Hail Marys and all that. No. I want to be comfortable around somebody. I want it back, like I said this morning, back with a Garden of Eden condition where Adam could talk to God.
Yes.
And it not bother him. Don't you want to talk to God and not bother you? Everybody, you know, you come in with your sin and you come in with this load and you come in like, God don't want you to do that. He said, put your burdens on me and then let's talk about it. Put your burdens on me and let's discuss this thing. I'm not going to kill you. You're my child. Our kids may have thought we was going to try to kill them at one point or time, but they all survived. But to get to that Son of Man dispensation, we got to come through this daily sanctification. Everybody with me? So, and then look, and we get up to the very top. It says a special anointing. Well, that is a special anointing. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like Brother Brown said, and we'll read it, where it seals everything together as a unit. And you're grown up. And then what can God do? He can set that cap right down on top of you, and then your words are as good as his words. You don't have to pray. Didn't Jesus walk up one day and he walked up to Lazarus' tomb and he said, Father, I don't even need to pray, but I'm going to pray because these people are here. That what he said? He said, I'm going to pray because of them. In other words, he could have just walked up and said, Lazarus, come on. But because of them what? The unbelievers that were around him, he said, I'm going to pray to you, Father, to show that I show obedience. But he was the Father made manifest in another form called Jesus Christ. And who are we? We're the bride in another form called Jesus Christ. We're the bride. All right? So that's what we're heading to. So I'm just going to try to give you that a little bit. And then we were talking about again this morning about the enemies of the cross. Get to the cross and then carry your cross. We're all going to have to carry a cross that maybe we have not ever carried before. All right? Everybody prepared for that. I think we are. If you go to Countdown and read Countdown, the prophet of God says, we're pressurized for this age. We're pressurized for this age. Other ages were not pressurized. There's a lot of other ages. I was watching an old movie. It was a documentary. Do you know now, you know, we go, what, 30,000 feet in a regular jet. When we go somewhere, it's like 30, 35,000 feet. Well, they have to turn the oxygen on because of what? The pressure's so, they have to pressurize the cab or the cabin, and then they have to put oxygen in there. You know what they used to do back before they had all that? They had an oxygen tank sitting down in the floor of the airplane. There was a tube that run up, and they put it in their mouth like there. And they breathed oxygen to keep from dying. They'd pass out if they got so high, and that was only like 20,000 feet. Well, where are we going now? If Elon Musk has anything to do with it, we're going to be able to take a weekend trip to the moon. Drive up there and drive back. Listen, it was unheard of in NASA. Unheard of in 1969 and 68 when they had the great Mercury rocket that took them to the moon. But they always had to replace it. It always had to come apart. It always had to, they had to destroy part of it. Right? What did Elon Musk do? He goes out and he makes a rocket that goes out there and goes into the space and then comes back and lands just like parking a car in the parking place. Look at that technology from just that period of time of 20, 30, 40 years. Well, that's the same way we should be in the gospel. We shouldn't be stuck in 1990, 80, 2000. Remember what I said when Brother Brown was talking about the, and I don't have the quote, but I read it a couple weeks ago, Brother Brown talking about a fresh revelation, that the manna fell every day. And he said, oh, that's okay if you had your experience 20 years ago. He said, but now that's got wiggletails in it. Wow. You got to have a new one. You got to have a new experience with God. You can't take the old. Sure, the old is something to build on. That's what we're going to build on. We're going to build a foundation on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Everybody okay? So the victim didn't carry the whole cross, but only the cross beam. Thank God we just got to carry the beam. Amen? We don't have to carry 400 pounds of cross. We carry the cross beam. But we do got to carry this cross right here. So the first beam would be faith. Then the next beam is virtue. The next beam is knowledge. We got to carry that. For many walk of whom I have told you often now, even weeping. Paul's weeping. That there are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They're written in a book, but it's not the book of life. They're never going to accept God. Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All right, his cross. Now he's going to talk about our cross. We were talking about this morning. For Christ sent not me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. All right, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me, he's not worthy of me. Follow after me. So that means he's already made it. We're following after him. All right, he's blazed the trail. Just like I said before, many older ones, Brother Dale and different ones, has blazed the trail. So that it's easier for us to follow if we want to. They found the quotes when we couldn't find the quotes. They had to find them like this. Right? We just go, like Sister Cleta, we were looking for a quote last night. She called me about a quote about Billy Paul and having a dream. Well, I put in Billy Paul. She said he said something about dark and dream. So I put all that four in, and there it was. Now, to have to find that in a physical book, it took days. So they blazed the trail now that, well, we don't have to do that. We've got the computers. We've got the we got our watch. We can get quotes on our watch. There's no excuse. More is given, though, more is required. And when he shall call the people unto him with his disciples, and he said what unto them? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. We're going to have to deny a lot of self to get up this statue of a perfect man. A lot of self. But he said, if you'll take up your cross and follow him, he said, lay his burden's light. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Then he keeps reading the same thing. Then Corinthians, I die daily. Now let's read this right here. Actually, let's skip this and let Brother Branham read it for us. You want to do that? Let's do that. Let's skip through all this. Oh, let's read this one right here. This is Why Am I Against Organized Religion? 1962. And that's the way God does the church. He beats every creed, every denomination, every man-made dogma until he sees his own life reflecting in you. He's talking about beating gold. They knew they had the gold, had all the dross beat out when they could see their reflection, almost like a mirror. You could see your reflection in the gold. All right, it's what he's talking about. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. See, if what is purpose to the church, the life that was in Christ isn't reflecting in you, don't you stand still. If you haven't got patience, virtue, all these things, and temperance and things, and godliness and brotherly kindness, and all these things that's required of you. So don't tell me it's not a requirement. It's required. I can't get it. Yes, you can. The curriculum is giving you the ability to do that. All right? Influence of another in Jeffersonville. Now, we want to go to our own Sunday school if you have one. But if you have no Sunday school, you'd like to be with us, I want to speak this morning and put it on blackboard. Teach on the full stature. Now, see, he's talking about that. Statue of a perfect man. Excuse me. Preach it in the morning. He must be preaching this one on Saturday night. So he's preaching this on Sunday morning. The full stature of a perfect man, and draw it out in the blackboard and show God's requirements. And how we come to the perfect stature of a perfect man before God. Everybody with me? All right, here we go. Let's read this right here. This is Brother Branham reading 2 Peter. So now let us read, 2 Peter, first chapter, portion of it. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I like the way that's stated right there, because my whole subject this morning is based on faith. See, let me read that again. Listen close. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice, he is saying that I have obtained this faith, and I am addressing this to them that has obtained like precious faith. Now, what is his like precious faith? The new birth.
Yes.
What is your like precious faith? The new birth.
Right.
So you got to have a new birth first.
Yes.
Look. It is not to the outside world. This is to the church. See? Those that are in Christ. And then he continues reading. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. His divine power has now given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are we given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what? These promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now listen, if God makes a promise,
Amen.
He's got to keep it.
Right.
So he promised to give you this divine nature and to give you these virtues. He promised he would. I mean, it doesn't matter if you got a fourth grade education or a 14th grade education. Doesn't matter.
Amen.
Right. Listen, all our problem is our yielding. It's in our yielding.
Yeah.
Age doesn't matter. Intelligence doesn't matter. It's how much we yield to God. It's how much importance we put on this, that, or the other. All right? Now let that soak real deep now. Not preaching this morning, just teaching this lesson, divine nature. Let me read that fourth verse again now so you won't miss it. Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, Brother Brown says, see, the world. We've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. That's why we're here this morning, watch, is to find out what is the way, what is God's requirement. Now, if God requires it, we got to do it. But if God requires it, he gives us a place to go to get it. All right? There's not a person in here that loves God but wants to become more like Christ. Why did you become a Christian? To go back being like the world? No. You want to have something at virtues in your life. Now that's laid out here, every Christian. All right? Statue of Perfect Man, 1962. That's the way it is with Christ, see? We've got to be so in love with Him to when we ask for something, here it is, when we ask for something and He doesn't give it to us, that doesn't shake us a bit. Not a bit. See why? The only way you can do that is to become partakers of His divine nature. Then you'll understand the reason He can't give it to you. You'll understand the reason that He can't give it to you. And how's He going to give it to us? Ephesians 4:11. And He gave some prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, not statue, stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. All right, we're moving away from children. We're moving away from the oxygen in our mouth to drive the airplane. No, we've come to a 777, hallelujah. A 777 jet, they make them now, you know. And that 7-7 jet's got everything you need. You don't have to stick nothing in your mouth. It's got, you just turn a switch and there you got your pressurized. You've got everything you need and just fly the airplane. That we henceforth be no more children. Have you ever watched the first airplane, the Wright brothers? They got a little film about it. You seen that thing that they flew? They flew it like 6 feet off the ground for like 20 feet. That was the first airplane. Now we can fire them off of a deck of a boat. Wow. And run 1,500 miles an hour. And they were running about 5. Best they could do. They're pedaling like crazy and got about that high off the ground. All right? See what we've come to. Now, are we still pedaling in the gospel? Or are we driving the 777? It's your choice. No more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine. What? By the sleight of men. Yes. Preachers. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They are going to try to deceive you. Right. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. And look, I like this word, compacted. I mean, man, when you pack it in there, Sister Frieda, when you pack it, it's packed. There's no air. There's no anything. There's no air bubbles. Pack it in there, compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of what? The body. I'm not trying to get y'all built up individually just so you can be an individual built up. Everybody with me on that? Build you up as an individual so that the group can come together and work as a unit. Amen? Work as a unit. Because that's what it says right here. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Make its increase of the whole body. Unto the edifying of itself in love. And Brother Brown tells us, 1962, Statue of Perfect Man. I haven't read many quotes from the Statue of Perfect Man, so I'm going to read a few this afternoon, and then we'll go right into our communion. Well, now that's the way it is, trying to manufacture Christianity. He's talking about a blackbird sticking peacock feathers into it to look like a peacock. The first thing you've got to do is be born again. I don't know how in the world them people get that doctrine. That's in the Statue of Perfect Man book, right at the first, paragraph 94. He comes out right out of the gate and says, you got to be born again. You've got to be changed. And when you're changed, you become a new creature. Now you're getting right now. Now you don't have to worry about the feathers. It'll take care of itself when you're born again. Like I've said before, you take a hog, scrub him up, put a tuxedo suit on him, or tuxedo suit, rather, on him, and turn him out where is he going to go? He's going to go right back to the mud. He's going to mess that pretty old suit that you gave him. Why? Because he's still a pig. Because you see, it wouldn't do any good. He's a hog. That's his nature. Wallowing is his nature. That was our nature, to wallow in the world. You've got to change his nature. And he, the rest of it, will take care of itself. Now notice, you must be born again. That is changed. There's got to be a change. You say, well, Brother Branham, I know this certain woman over here. Why, she never did nothing wrong. She's a good woman. Or this such and such a man, he's a good man. He never does anything. You know he doesn't harm anybody. That doesn't mean one thing. He might make a good neighbor, but if he isn't born a Christian until he's born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom. Now that means see means to understand. All right, now the statue of perfect man. Again, paragraph 102, just right after that paragraph. Notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. See, on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. What? That he is God. And a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you're a skeptic of the Bible, when you're a skeptic of the Word, let me put this in. When you're a skeptic of the message, being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. What is sin? Unbelief. There's only two elements that controls the human being. Now, here we go. That's either what? Doubt or faith. One or the other, not both. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have is how high you can rise. But first, you got to have, it's got to be faith. Let me stay on that foundation for a while. That's why we've been on the foundation of faith for a while. Faith is what you must believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Look, you already have it when you have faith because it's revealed in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, what is it? What kind of an evidence? A holy evidence. A holy evidence. That's what we've come into this. We've come to a holy evidence. We come to a time that when you get born again, you go into Holy of Holies. You have an experience with God. You walk out, then you got to live it. You walk out, back out into the outer court where there's the Gentiles again. There's all the sacrifices. There's all the things that are going on around you. But remember that song, Shut In With God. You can be in the middle of 10 million people and be shut in with God. Can you not? I mean, don't you feel alienated when you get around a group of people and they're all thinking different? Obviously, they're talking different. They look different. They're acting different because they are different. But you've been changed and you're sitting there and then they're screaming about, you know, who's marrying this one in Hollywood and who's the new car that's coming out and all this. Have you seen at the post office, they always talk about some new series. And they talk about it just like they're living it. You know, Yellowstone or something, something's going on now about something like that. And they're, Sally, boy, did you see what she did the other day? I mean, they're wasting their time. It's a fantasy. That's what Satan wants to give you, a fantasy. Something to what? Fantasize with. That's why he give us sports. Listen, this nation, we're consumed with sports. And I used to be too. Consumed with it. I mean, people die for it. I wouldn't die for one of them sorry millionaires. If he got born again, I probably would. But he'd die for me too. But you know what? That's the world, and it comes, and it what? It separates. Amen. The whole world couldn't go behind the Holy of Holies. There is a separation time. Right. Like I was saying this morning with Sister Gail, you know, she always said God's long as arm. Arm is long. It is. But it's got a place where it ends. 120 years, his arm was long during Noah's time. Right. But at that end of that finger out there, the end of that 120 years, he said, that's it. That's right. I'm shutting the ark. Noah, I know you want to save everybody. Noah, we want everybody saved. Right? But there's only going to be so many. And we're not going to shut the door. God's going to shut the door. We're not going to end the Gentile dispensation. God's going to end it. God's the one that's going to do it. Sure, we all got to come to our position, our place. Amen, amen, amen. But listen, God's going to say, how are we going to know it's the last one? What if the last one is in Africa or India or China or somewhere? What if the last one comes in? Well, we don't know that. So God's going to shut the door. But you know what? We'll realize it because what? We got the same spirit that person's got in them, him or her. You know, there is a last one. There's always the last something, you know, there's a last one that's out there somewhere. And he or she is just kind of walking around like this. All of a sudden, somebody's going to give them the message of the hour, and they're going to accept it, and then boom, we're going to be gone. God's arm is only going to be that long. When the Gentile dispensation is over, remember when the resurrection happens, we were talking about it several months ago, there's going to be 30 or 40 days, we're going to still be hanging around here. Can't not one Gentile be saved during that time. All your friends, that's when the foolish virgin is going to come to us and say, let me have some of your oil. I see that the resurrection's happened. I see that now, Brother Collie, you're about 20 years old now. Something must have really happened. Something must have happened. What happened? Well, we got changed. We just changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Well, they're going to know real quick when they look at themselves and they're still old. And they look at you and you're young, they miss something. Give me your oil. Well, you should have got it before. That's what I said before. Every disaster creates full churches. Because everybody gets a sense of religion. And they gather in church. And then when that goes away or goes 2-3 months down the road, what is this nation? What is this Laodicea? Lax. Lackadaisy. Well, let's just go back. You know, Grandma told us the Lord was coming, but this must not be it. There's going to be one time when Grandma's going to be right. That the Lord's come. Amen? You love the Lord? Amen. There's only two elements that controls human being. That's either doubt or faith. One or the other. Even when you're born again. You can still have doubt and fear. But you can't have fear like you had before. Or you need to get born again. So what is sin? Sin is unbelief. Sin is going to keep us from going up this statue of perfect man. So like I said before, let's just lay it out. God, forgive me of anything I've done. You say the same thing and mean it and repent. I'm sorry. Goes a long way to God. Amen? All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's go ahead. Let's take communion. Anybody need prayer? Let's stand to our feet. All minds clear? We'll continue on next week. We'll stop right there. Man, I'm going to preach an hour. Man. All right, let's, who's going to help? Brother John? Prayer? Sure, come on. Come on, let's pray for the sick. Sure, absolutely. Yes, sir. All right, give me. Heavenly Father, Lord, our sister's been having a bad cough now. Pray, Lord, that you would just rebuke that demon. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sister won't have her cough anymore. And Lord, that she'll be able to testify that you did this for her, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we said many times before, that the prophet said, our bodies will yield to what we say. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, our body, Lord, along with our sister's body, we're yielding to you now, Lord, not to that cough. And she'll be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't cough no more. Amen. Anybody else? Somebody gonna help Luis with the bread and the wine. Let's read this. Chapter 13 of John. Like I said before, and Dad said many times, it's kind of interesting that we're not gonna read that. We're gonna read Corinthians first, sorry. That Paul was not in at the supper table. Oh, need prayer again. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Dear Lord Jesus, Our little sister, Lord's got a cold. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will take this away from her, Lord, and she'll be able to testify that it's been taken away, Lord. We thank you for this, Lord. Have a childlike faith, Lord. I sure wish we all had that. They would just believe, Lord, when somebody looks at you and says, do you believe? And they say, yes. That's all it takes, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You be good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sister Frieda's got something she'd like to say.
Several weeks ago.
You guys talk loud. Hold it. Come right here. Come right here. I don't mind you standing here. You're not going to desecrate anything. Good grief.
Several weeks ago, I got up here and I asked if anybody knew of anything that I had done, said, gossip, whatever. To please, I was begging you to come to me. And two people came to me, and you'll never know what that meant to me. And the one thing I remembered, I should have written it down, I went and made right. And it was wonderful, but I cannot think of who the other person was. So if you are a person that came to me, could you please just privately come to me again so that I can make whatever I need to right?
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Everybody good with that? Just if you're that one or whatever, you need to just talk to her in private. It feels good to repent. Amen. It really feels good to repent. Amen? I mean, it'll lift the load off of you that the devil has. He can't stand repentance. He wants to pile it on top of you and you just say, no, not this time. I'm sorry, Brother Luis. I shouldn't have said what I said. I'm sorry. I apologize. And you know what? He feels better, and so do I, because most of the time, if somebody ever walks up to me, and somebody walked up to me the other day and said, I'm sorry for so-and-so, and I'm like, I don't remember what that was. But it was important to them. Amen? As long as they got it off, it was important to them. You get it off. That's why we're taking communion. That's why we commune with God. That's why Paul was able to write the communion, because he said, I have received of the Lord. He wasn't there. And I like what a brother said. He said, now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's four different gospels, right? And remember, there was in one gospel, there was two blind men. Another gospel, there was one blind man. In another gospel, it showed you this way and this way. Well, God didn't want the communion table to be that way. He wanted one man, a prophet, to tell you what happened in the upper room, to make sure that we did it the right way, that it wasn't two blind men or one blind man, or was it cups, or was it... You understand what I'm saying? And then he gave us a prophet to give us clarity in the end time. I thank God that we're living in this time of revelation. They can say what they want to about William Mayer Branham. I really don't care. They're going to have to face God. They're going to have to face God. Amen. I was reading the other day, and Brother Branham was so, and he said, thus saith the Lord, so many times. And all this happened that they can't deny, but they deny the little things, the little something, you know, the 12 people that fell off the bridge and blah, 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 all that stuff. He's a man that stood and said, I'll take this to judgment. I'll face this. Now, my word, he's going to have to face it if he's not right, but we know he was. But what they're saying is he's all false. Brother John, 1,100 sermons, and all them people that got healed, he was false. Listen, there's so much insurmountable evidence that he was a prophet of God that there is no way that a sane person would believe any other way. They have just got a demon on them, a lying demon that's lying to them about everything that's been said against the prophet of God. Amen? So I just want to make sure this is for me. This message is for me. All right, it's for me. All right, you got to say the same thing. It's for you too. Amen, it's for you. This message is for each and every one of us. But God ordained it to come through one man to give us not one opinion. He gave us what God said. He didn't give us an opinion of a denominational church that backed him up. That's why he didn't go to the denominations. That's why he stood alone. God wanted him to stand alone. He didn't want to have to say, well, Brother Brown, you can't preach that in that church. No, he went and preached what he preached, what God told him to preach. Amen. So let's read the scripture. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Everything is in remembrance of me. Not that we remembered that it was the first Sunday of every month. No, we remembered when we take this communion, we're going to remember what he did. All right? In remembrance of me, communion, we're going to commune with God and say, God, thank you for doing what you did. Because I couldn't have done it. You couldn't have done it. No way you could have done what he did, hanging on Calvary. Amen. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, Sister Frieda, or sister, examine himself. Examine. See what's going on. If you had to get something, get out of the way, get out of the way. And don't wait on the person. You take communion today because you've given. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Prophet of God said you might not can get to him right then, but you better get to him when you get finished. Am I right? Everybody with me? Amen. So if you're bothered by something, take communion and then go make it right. If that person's not around where you can, you know, where you can't do that. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Praise God. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. In other words, stop for a minute. Do like Sister Frieda did. Check up the check and balances. Check the balance. Make sure. Check and make sure everything's good. Everything's all right. If you got a little something, like I said, something, you know, you say something to a coworker, make it right tomorrow. Take communion today. It shouldn't stop you from taking communion. All right, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brother, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So let's have a moment of silent prayer. Brother Brown said, pray for your pastor. I say pray for all the heads of deacons, elders, everybody that has anything to do with the church, because Satan would love to just tear us apart. Satan would love to tear all of us apart. But let's have a moment of silent prayer, and then let's take communion. Let's commune with God. We thank you, Lord, for all things you've given us, Father. Now, as we partake to this bread and this wine, Lord, may we remember that you hung on an old, dirty cross. You hung on two sticks, Lord, that were stuck into the earth. And Father, you did it for me. You did it for our brothers and sisters here, Lord. I pray that you, and you don't ever have to do that again. You did it once for all. But Lord, let us take up our cross, though. Let us take that cross beam and pick it up and put it on our shoulders, the strongest part of our body. And let us carry our cross and follow you, Lord. And may that cross be transferred into feathers. Lord, as Brother Bram said this morning, as wings. Those two cross pieces will turn into wings, and Lord, we'll fly away out of here one day. Father, give us our daily bread today in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and he blessed it. Lord Jesus, thank you for this bread. It has been made with holy hands. It's been made according to the way you need it made, Lord, with no leaven where it won't rise, Lord. It's not something for us to take pleasure in, but it's your body that was broken, Lord, that was taken and put through the most horrible of situations. You stood that for me and our brothers and sisters here, Lord. Now as we partake of this, Lord, may we remember you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then what are we going to do with this when we get done? I'm going to take it home and I'm going to burn it before the next day, because we don't hold it over. We're going to burn it beyond where you'll never be able to eat it again. Because tomorrow we want a fresh revelation. Amen. Just like the manna, we want a fresh revelation. We don't want the stale bread of the day before. Amen. And that's something to say. If you know that quote where Brother Brown said, "Well, yeah, you had an experience 20 years ago," said, "but that's got wiggle tails in it now." Wow. Yeah, it was an experience. Oh yeah, I got saved. You'd hear people, you know, I got saved back in 1995. Started going to church. Went for 2 weeks. I ain't been since. But I'm saved. I don't think so. He might have come to the cross and got a good case of justification. But thank God for a prophet that tells me that if I'm to think that, I'm wrong. Amen? Denominations can think that and go, "Oh, we're good." Like we were talking about last night. You know, everybody in the denominational world, they think that there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. So when it comes and they miss it, they go, "Oh, we got 7 years. We're going to be saved during that time. We'll be fine." Well, that's false. And who told them that? God? No. The devil told them that. Through a preacher. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that loud. Sorry about John. Through a preacher, though. That's how they got it. Correct. Wolves lying in wait. Do you know what? Steal your soul. Not your body. Steal your soul. Satan wants to steal your soul. He's got your body at the moment. Come on, somebody. He's got your body. I'm looking at some old dead bodies right now. Amen? But God's got your soul, and Satan can't get it if he's got it. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this wine has been made also by holy hands. Now I pray as we partake of it, Lord, that it will just be, Lord, wonderful. Even if it was made years ago, it just keeps getting better and better, Lord. Thank you for all these things that you give us, Lord, as we partake of this communion. Let us remember you, Father, the blood that spilled all on the ground at Calvary, Lord, to sanctify a group of people, Lord, that can stand today, Father, and take this communion without any malice, without any reserve, Lord. We can take this, Lord, as you told us. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath that evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected. And I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength. What? To pick up your beam and carry it. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. Oh, all the cares will be over. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. We'll be at rest. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Gonna be some dark times. Come morning, there's glory for me. Thank God we're not gonna have any thought of the bad part of what we were here. The sorrows and heartaches we've been through and the rejection by others, by even your own family, calling you crazy and you're a cult and you're this and you're that. Well, they called Jesus Beelzebub. They called him a wine bibber. They even asked him, "Why does your master always eat with sinners and publicans?" You know why? Jesus said, because they needed saving. Amen? You know what he was telling them? You're not savable. That's what he was telling the religious world. You're not. I didn't come to save you. I come to save them. Amen? What would it be if he acted so much like that, yet he was God Almighty in human flesh? Where the world looked at him and said, "Oh, you're Beelzebub. You're not the devil. You're the prince of the devils." Beelzebub was the prince of the demons. Not just demons. He was the prince of demons. He was the apex of demons. That's what they were calling Jesus. was the apex of being a demon. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Let's remember him. Let's partake. Thank you, Lord. What a small symbol of what he done for us. He was beat to a pulp for me and you. He hung on the cross for hours. Brother John. He hung on the cross for hours just so that me and you can be saved. He absolutely, I'll get it. He absolutely done something you and I would never do. He didn't die for himself. He died for me and you. He didn't die for himself. He died alone, the Bible says, though. The song says he died alone for you and me. It was not a lot of glory going on at Calvary. But it was the greatest moment that a man could do for someone else is to give his life. Not only that he could just give his life, but he could come take that life and put it back inside of you. Because he had eternal life in his soul. He wasn't just had eternal life, Brother Colley. He was eternal life. Amen. He was the man to give it to us. He was our Boaz. He was the one that gave us this gift. Now, as we receive the new birth, now let's take these other gifts, these other promises, and let's use them. Well, what if I fail? You can't fail. You can't fail if you'll try. If you'll give it to God all you got, you cannot fail. There's no way you can. It's because somebody's going to fulfill all those scriptures that somebody made it. Amen? That somebody come to a place of adoption, and then somebody come to a place of a body change. And that body change has got to be not just a day on the calendar. It's got to be when you and I come to a place to where death is destroyed, and I can look at death and say, No, not me. You can go get somebody else, but no, not me. Brother Brown said, death will go up your sleeve. Go up your sleeve, and you'll just wipe it right off. That's not a fantasy. That will be a reality. Amen. So let's read John chapter 13. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he come from God and he went to God. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter's fixing to get a little training course. Because he's the one that's going to bring us this a few years later after he does this. All right? Then cometh Simon Peter and said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said unto him, look, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know in 2 Peter 1. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. You should never say never to God. Because he's fixing to talk to him again. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, you're going to have no part with me. Wow. He didn't say a little bit, or Peter, it's okay this time, I'll let you by. No. He said, you'll have no part with me unless you wash some people's feet. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had taken, washed his their feet, taken his garment, sat down, he said, knoweth, and he sits down and he says, all right, I'm going to teach you what I just did. Know ye what I have done to you? Question mark. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He had come to a place. Now, a lot of times, back in his journey of his 3.5-year ministry, they'd call him Lord, and he said, don't call me Lord. They'd call him this, and he said, don't call me this. But he's come to the hour that he's fixing to fulfill his last part of scriptures, heading to Calvary. Everybody with me? Heading to Calvary. He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He had to get that I am in there. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. All minds clear, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with us in the furtherment of this service. Lord, as you be with us in the foot washing part, Lord, thank you for letting us take communion, Father. There's going to be a time, Lord, when we'll not be able to get together maybe and do this. But there's going to be a great reunion one day. There's going to be a great youth meeting. And we're all going to be the same age. And we're all going to take wine and we're all going to take bread and we're all going to look across and say, we made it. We made it. We made it into eternity. Well, thank you, Lord, for that. We pray now that you will give us a little glimpse of that today, Father. A little glimpse of that eternity, Lord, in the words that we speak to each other and the words that we read and the message of the hour and the Bible and the different things. Let us see just a moment of that eternity, Lord, that we're heading to, Father. We're heading on a journey, and we pray that you'd be with us now and take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with the ones that are on the highways. There's going to be several people traveling back and forth today and tomorrow. Keep them safe on the highways, Lord, because Satan would love to destroy all of us. But, Lord, keep your hand on us, Lord. May you keep the mightiest thing made on the face of the earth, and that's wings. May you cover us, Lord, with feathers. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed. The sisters go downstairs.